The discovery that plants, flies, and humans share a remarkably similar immune system was astonishing enough to earn two scientists a Nobel Prize. And tomorrow, those scientists will speak at UC Davis in a symposium that's titled, take a deep breath for this one, Evolution of Common Molecular Pathways Underlying Innate Immunity. And we're going to boil it all down for you because with us today is the sponsor of the symposium and UC Davis Professor Emeritus of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine, Dr. Murray Gardner. And Dr. Gardner, welcome to Insight.
Thank you very much, Beth.
It is remarkable to have these scientists join us. I'd like to hear the research that they're going to talk about, but also, how did you make this happen?
Well, it's truly a remarkable coincidence. I was reading a paper in Science magazine a year and a half ago when I saw the information that plants and animals and mice and flies have a common mechanism of innate immunity. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, well, that's what my dad used to tell me years ago. He was a plant pathologist that helped to found the Department of Plant Path at Davis. And he used to tell me through the years that if we paid attention to plants, we might learn something useful for biomedical science in humans. And it went mostly in one ear and out the other, because at that time they didn't have the technology, the ability to analyze DNA like now. But he knew intuitively that we would learn something from plants that would be useful for humans. And he was dead right. And that information just became available in the last 10 or 15 years because the technology, the ability to analyze DNA, to take it apart and understand all the building blocks, has become available. And the first genes that were cloned that show these important molecules that are the gatekeeper to the first steps of protective immunity were found in rice plants by a young scientist named Pam Ronald at Davis. And she was in the Department of Plant Pathology. So when I saw this article and I saw it was from the Plant Path at Davis, it just seems so absolutely apropos that we have a symposium based on this wonderful new science. So I went to Pam and I said, let's put this thing together. And she said, great, we'll do it. And she said, and I asked her for suggestions. Who else? She suggested Bruce Beutler and Jules Hoffman, who I didn't know. I'm really am not an expert in this field, though I'm becoming that now as I study up on it here. But she suggested those fellas. And so I got on an email, and I emailed them right away, and they answered promptly back enthusiastically, yes, we'd love to come to Davis and see Pam and talk about this. Well, little did we know that they were going to come to Davis via the White House and via Stockholm. Oh. So we managed to capture these illustrious folks before they got their big medals, but they were still quite willing to come and take part in this symposium. And then the other fellow, Luke O'Neill, is a superstar out of Ireland who's also done tremendously good science understanding the mechanisms of innate immunity. And I found his name on the internet also. And so I got and I called him or emailed him. He said he'd gladly come too. And little did I know, he was also being invited to be the Storer lecturer at UC Davis by another group of people. We didn't know it. He didn't know it. So he got all these invitations from people that were duplicated. At any rate, the symposium was put together purely by chance. And the most amazing part of it also is that two of the people, Pam Ronald and Bruce Beutler, that are speaking, are related.
Oh, they are?
Oh, they are.
I didn't know that.
Their fathers were young kids in Berlin in the 1920s.
Oh, my.
And they escaped the Nazis, came to this country. Believe that?
Oh, my.
Now, so Pam and Bruce Beutler are related. Bruce Beutler was down at Scripps working on innate immunity in mice. Pam was in Davis working on the same thing in
independent,
rice.
Independent, totally independent, independent of each other.
Independently of each other, and they didn't really know each other, and they weren't aware they were working on the same phenomena. But they had a grandmother, Bruce's grandmother, who Pam liked a lot and visited with, and she said, you've got to get to know my grandson, Bruce. He's doing all this interesting stuff in immunology at Scripps. And Pam thought, well, he's probably just one of the many immunologists at Scripps working on antibodies, part of adaptive immunity. No idea he was working on an earlier step in immunity called, innate immunity. When she found that out, it was only 2 years ago. They'd been working on the same thing for 10 years, not knowing it. And so she got together with him, and they wrote this paper that showed the similarities in the mechanisms between plant and mice and flies that this fellow Hoffman had done. And so that's how it all came to pass.
And here they are.
And here they are today, tomorrow, to talk about these amazing findings. And what's so exciting now about the science is that we now have a way of looking at how the first line of defense takes place in humans.
And let's pause there a minute. I want to let people know that you are Dr. Murray Gardner, and we're talking about a symposium that's free to the public, although you have to pre-register that it's happening tomorrow. So now let's continue on. Immunity, two lines of defense, and this one that they found that's in common in plants, flies, and humans is that first innate line.
It's called you can call it natural immunity, innate immunity. There's really two kinds of immunity. Their first line of defense, the gatekeeper, if you will, to the environmental pathogens out there, microbes, is innate immunity. And we didn't know much about it because we didn't have the ability to analyze it until the genome era in the last 10, 15 years. The second line of defense is what we know a lot more about is adaptive immunity, and that's where the lymphocytes in the body rally and make antibodies and killer cells that take care of the pathogen. But that takes time. That takes 2 or 3 weeks to happen. Innate immunity is what keeps most of the pathogens from causing any problem early after exposure.
And that second line of defense is only in animals with backbones.
That's correct.
But that first line is what they've discovered is everywhere.
That's correct. So it goes way back in evolution. Only vertebrates have adaptive immunity.
Okay.
It lymphocytes, circulating cells. Plants, flies have in common with vertebrates innate immune mechanisms. They have similar molecules, similar molecular building blocks on the surface of the cell, similar ways for those building blocks to carry the signal that they recognize in the pathogen. They call that the pathogenic signature, the signature, which is the molecules that the bacteria or virus may release that comes in contact with these sensors, like radar, on the surface of the organism or in the cells of the organism. They recognize that, and they send signals into the nucleus to turn on appropriate genes, thousands of genes probably, that then convey protective mechanisms, and that's partly the process of inflammation. We don't even know what's going on in us, but it's protecting us against pathogens.
So if we understand this, Dr. Gardner, what door does that open?
Well, if you know the steps that the pathogen takes to turn on the immune system and cause it to produce inflammation and later on antibodies and T cells, you can do things to block that process before it becomes exaggerated or out of whack, and you can stop inflammatory processes from being carried beyond normal and produce diseases rheumatoid arthritis and lupus and the like. So this is an delicately orchestrated process, highly, highly intricate, because you can't have too much immunity or you get problems with that. So you have to balance it and modulate this immune response. And there's all kinds of other molecules, adapters and with funny names, you know, chaperones and the like, that orchestrate this very delicate process of innate immunity. And now the good thing is that those molecules are being understood. Some of them may be critical that you can attack and block the process when you want to do so to protect against the pathogen, or if the immune system is over-exaggerated, you want to protect against that too. So there's a lot of potential therapy and even vaccines that can come down the pike now because we know the molecules that are involved in this process of innate immunity. We know many of them. We don't know all of them. We're just scratching the surface. The field is 15 years old. That's just a baby in science. So there's a lot more to be learned. But the excitement is that the resources are there and the ability to pursue this is very exciting to the scientific community.
Especially with inflammation being that key buzzword right now in terms of cancer prevention or understanding so many other diseases and infections.
Sure, inflammation seems to be a common denominator of many processes in the body, not just infections that we think of, but also processes like arthritis and cancer and autoimmunity. And inflammation can be good if it's carefully monitored. It can help us and get rid of the bad guys. But on the other hand, it's easy to get exaggerated and go beyond that point in which you may have disease. So inflammation is a very important part of our biology.
I want to let people know this symposium is at the UC Davis Conference Center tomorrow, Wednesday, January 25th from 1 to 5. It is free, but you must pre-register online. So our website has the link for people to pre-register. Go ahead.
There's already 400 some people registered.
Oh, really?
And so we're looking
capacity?
For probably have some standing room, but there's going to be a good crowd there tomorrow. So
okay.
Come early.
It is an absolute delight to have you here because you and I have a long, long history. It's always fun to interview you because I think you're a brilliant mind and just a wonderful person. But our days together go back to the 1980s when AIDS was first being discovered and discussed and I was putting the first stories on TV. And you were my pathway to understanding it.
Well, thanks. We did have a heady time then. It was a brand new world. The AIDS had just been discovered. We found a similar disease and a similar kind of virus in monkeys and cats. And we had it, the first cases of humans here. So we were really early on making headway understanding the pathogenesis of the disease. And Jonas Salk came into our life because he wanted to work with us to hopefully make a vaccine similar to the kind he had made against polio using the whole virus. We worked with him. He came to my house to dinner. You came to my house and saw our red sheep and had dinner there with us, my wife Alice and kids. And it was a wonderful era and an exciting time. And we made good science. We didn't solve the problem, but we certainly made headway. And we still are in that field.
Well, from Jonas Salk to those earliest international AIDS conferences, John Hickman, the first person in Sacramento to go on TV and talk about experiencing AIDS, and then to the Pasteur Institute, where you helped connect me to the researchers and the first lab of the isolation of the virus. Through all of that, I so remember you every year saying, 5 more years, 10 more years. There was just unending hope and spirit within you that we would find this cure.
Well, we haven't found a vaccine yet, but there has been tremendous headway made with therapy. What used to be a universally fatal disease, a death certificate, has really changed now with drugs. They can prolong life and make it more of a chronic disease. It's not cured. There's no way to get rid of the virus once you have it, and it may inevitably come back, but it's still been great headway, and even more than that has been the public acceptance of the disease. Back when we were working on it, there was tremendous hysteria. There was panic. There was efforts to lock people up and put them behind bars, and people were just deathly scared.
Yes.
And now they prejudiced toward the people that were getting AIDS. Well, that's changed greatly over the 20 years, and it's really a lot of changes to the good. But the disease is still with us, and more needs to be done.
Well, you helped make it a conversation piece as we were growing in the science, and I can see with this symposium that's what you're trying to do today in terms of understanding immunity, infection, disease, prevention, and therapy, ultimately.
Well, I think science is wonderful. I'm a great enthusiast for science. We get all worked up over sports, and I did as a kid, too, and I think scientists ought to have their pictures on cereal boxes, not just baseball players and whatnot. So it's fun to promote something that's good cause and it's exciting. There's nothing more fun than making discoveries in nature and having it lead to something that's useful.
Well, two Nobel laureates who will be at UC Davis are about to be in the headlines, and their pictures will be out there. Dr. Murray Gardner, it is always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us on Insight.
Thank you very much, Beth.
And again, we'll have the information on the symposium on our website. You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. Coming up, Sean Casey of Storm Chasers and Tornado Alley. We'll be right back.